Daniel for a really good example. We look at chapter 4, verse 19. This is after Daniel's, the king has a dream, and it's not good for the king. It's like, oh, bummer for you. This could be a chance, an exciting chance for Daniel to get the right man in office. I'm excited. This is God's retribution. This is God. Man, the year of the vengeance of my God. Woohoo! This guy's going to get it. And what's he say? My Lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries. That's pretty stunning. In verse 27, it says, therefore, O king, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue. He's actually interceding for the king. He's actually saying, hey, there's a better way. There's a way out of this. Like, hey, there's a way that this doesn't have to come true. So he is interceding. He is actually loving his leader, praying for his leader. In chapter 6, verse 21, it says this. I'll read it real quick. This is after Daniel's been thrown in the lion's den. He just gets pulled up. Listen, he just got thrown to the lions by the king. And the first thing he says when he get pulled out of the pit, O king, live forever. That's the king that threw him in the pit. O king, live forever. What if we had that attitude towards our kings? What if you had that attitude towards your leaders, towards your pastor, towards the people who lead you, towards your boss? What if we had the right president in office right now, and his name is Barack Obama? And what if all he needed was your prayers for an encounter? Stop trying to, we all need to stop trying to get people out of office, and we need to start trying to get God in the office of their heart. If we love people and honor, if the church was sending that message, if the church was sending a unified message of, we love you, you're amazing, you're the man of God for this hour, God placed you in this spot and we know it.